Is there cover where we can hide from the sunflowers? A cave, for example?
I don't think so. The land's too flat. The sunflowers can't focus the light with any precision, but there's a lot of glare anyway.
Teela broke in.
For pity's sake, what's the matter with you two? Louis, we've got to land. Speaker's in pain.
Truly, I am in pain, Louis.
Then I vote we risk it. Come down, you two. We'll just have to hope the clouds hold.
Good.
Teela's intercom image went into action. Louis spent a minute or so searching between the plants. It was as he had surmised. There was no alien survivor anywhere in the domain of the sunflowers. No smaller plant grew between the stalks. Nothing flew, nothing burrowed beneath the ashy-looking soil. On the plants themselves, there were no blights, fungus growths, disease spots. If disease struck one of their own, the sunflowers would destroy it. The mirror blossom was a terrible weapon. Its primary purpose was to focus sunlight on the green photosynthetic node at its center. But it could also focus to destroy a plant-eating animal or insect. The sunflowers burned all enemies. Everything that lives is the enemy of a photosynthesis-using plant. And everything that lived became fertilizer for the sunflowers.
But how did they come here? Louis wondered.
For sunflowers could not coexist with less exotic plant life. Sunflowers were too powerful. Thus, they could not be native to the Ringworlder's original planet. The engineers must have scouted nearby stars for their useful or decorative plants. Perhaps they had even come as far as Silver Eyes in human space. And they must have decided that the sunflowers were decorative.
But they would have fenced them in. Any idiot would have that much sense. Give them, say, a plot of ground with a high broad ring of bare ring flooring around it. That would keep them in.
Only it didn't. Somehow a seed got across. No telling how far they've spread by now, said Louis to himself. And he shuddered. This must be the bright spot he and Nessus had noticed ahead of them. As far as the eye could see, no living thing challenged the sunflowers. In time, if they were given time, the sunflowers would rule the ring world. But that would take much time. The ring world was roomy. Roomy enough for anything. Chapter 15. Dream Castle. Louis, musing, was only half aware of two fly cycles dropping beside his own. He was jerked from his reverie when Speaker barked, "Louis, you will take the slaver disintegrator from my cycle and use it to dig us a hiding hole. Teela, come and tend my injuries."
A hiding hole?
Yes, we must burrow like animals and wait for nightfall.
Yeah.
Louis shook himself. Speaker should not have had to think of that, injured as he was. Obviously, they could not risk a break in the clouds. All the sunflowers needed to murder them was a point source of light. But at night... Louis avoided looking at Speaker while he searched Speaker's cycle. One look had been enough. The Kazin was burnt black across most of his body. Fluids leaked through the oily ash that had been fur. Flesh showed bright red in wide cracks. The smell of burnt hair was strong and terrible. Louis found the disintegrator, a double-barreled shotgun with a fluid-seeming handle. The weapon next to it made him grin sourly. If Speaker had suggested burning off the sunflowers with flashlight lasers, Louis probably would have gone along with it, fuddled as he was. He took the weapon and withdrew quickly, feeling queasy, ashamed of his weakness. He hurt with the pain of Speaker's burns. Teela, who knew nothing of pain, could help Speaker better than Louis could. Louis aimed the gun 30 degrees downward. He was wearing the breathing helmet from his pressure suit. As he was in no hurry, he flipped only one of the two triggers. The pit formed fast. Louis couldn't see how fast, for the dust was all around him after the first instant. A minor hurricane blew at him from where the beam fell. Louis had to lean hard into the wind. In the cone of the beam, the electron became a neutral particle. Soil and rock, torn to atoms by the mutual repulsion of the nuclei, reached him as a fog of monatomic dust. Louis was glad of the breathing helmet. Presently, he turned off the disintegrator.
The pit looked big enough to fit the three of them and the fly cycles, too. So quickly, he thought. And he wondered how fast the tool would dig with both beams on. But then there would be a current flow, he thought, borrowing Speaker's euphemism. At the moment, he wasn't looking for that much excitement. Tila and Speaker had dismounted. Speaker was now hairless over most of his body. A large orange patch still covered him where he sat, and a broad orange band crossed his eyes. Elsewhere, his nude skin was veined red-violet, showing clusters of deep red cracks. Tila was spraying him with something that foamed white where it touched. The stench of burnt hair and meat stayed Louis from coming too close. "It's done," he said. The Kazin looked up.
"I can see again, Louis."
"Good." He'd been worried.
"The puppeteer brought military medical supplies, vastly superior to Kazinti civilian medicines. He should not have had access to military supplies."
The Kazin sounded angry. Perhaps he suspected bribery, and perhaps he was right.
"I'm going to call Nessus," Louis said, and he circled the pair. White foam now covered the Kazin from head to foot. There was no smell at all.
"I know where you are," he told the puppeteer.
"Marvelous. Where am I, Louis?"
"You're behind us. You circled round behind us as soon as you were out of sight. Tila and Speaker don't know. They can't think like puppeteers."
"Do they expect a puppeteer to break trail for them?" "Perhaps it is best they continue to think so. What chance is there that they will permit me to rejoin them?"
"Not now, maybe later. Let me tell you why I called." And he told the puppeteer about the sunflower field. He was detailing the extent of Speaker's injuries when Nessus's flat face dropped below the level of the intercom camera. Louis waited a few moments for the puppeteer to reappear, then he switched off. He was sure that Nessus would not remain long in catatonic withdrawal. The puppeteer was too sanely careful of his own life. 10 hours of daylight remained. The team waited it out in the disintegrator-dug trench. Speaker slept through it. They walked him into the trench, then used a spray from the Kazinti medkit to put him to sleep. The white foam had congealed on him to the consistency of a foam rubber pillow.
"The world's only bouncy Kazin," said Tila.
Louis tried to sleep. He dozed for a time. Once he half woke to bright daylight and to the sharp black shadow of the slope falling across him. He stirred and went back to sleep. And woke later in a cold sweat. Shadows. If he had sat up to look, he'd have been burnt crisp. But the clouds were back, safely blocking the vengeance of the sunflowers. Finally, one horizon dimmed. As the sky darkened, Louis set about waking the others. They flew beneath the clouds. It was vital that they be able to see the sunflowers. If dawn approached while the fleet was still over sunflowers, they would have to hide out during the next day. Occasionally, Louis dipped his cycle for a closer look. For an hour they flew, and then the sunflowers grew sparse. There was a region where sunflowers were scarce, half-grown seedlings growing among the blackened stumps of a recently burned forest. Grass actually seemed to compete with the sunflowers in this area. Then there were no sunflowers at all. And Louis could sleep at last. Louis slept as if drugged. It was still night when he woke. He looked about him and found a glimmer of light ahead and to spinward. Groggy as he was, he thought it would turn out to be a firefly caught in the sonic fold, or something equally silly. But it was still there after he rubbed his eyes. He pushed the call button for Speaker. The light grew nearer and clearer. Against the darkness of the Ringworld night landscape, it showed bright as a point of reflected sunlight. Not a sunflower, not at night. It might be a house, Louis thought. But where would a native get his lighting? Then again, a house would have gone by like that. At flycycle cruising speed, you could cross the North American continent in 2.5 hours. The light was drifting past them on the right, and still Speaker hadn't answered. Louis cut his cycle out of formation.
He was grinning in the dark. Behind him, the fleet, now under Speaker's guidance, at Speaker's insistence, was only 2 cycles strong. Louis picked Speaker's from memory. He flew toward it.